Miami Memoirs presents real case histories and true stories related to the law practice and experiences of Florida attorney Lewis M. Ress. Miami Memoirs uncorks a caseload of true, weird, wonderful, and wild stories from an always eventful 6 decades of life in the law. From multi-million-dollar land deals to the ghostly aftermath of an Everglades plane disaster via a prematurely deep-frozen cat, these tales feature a parade of unforgettable characters, all sharply observed by a storyteller with a very human empathy for ordinary and extraordinary individuals caught up in the law.
Lewis has just released a new book, Miami Memoirs, including The Maharani's Ring. Fans of strange cases and wild tales will need no introduction to the author's brilliant and fast-paced storytelling, laced with salty evocations of the human carnival of the era and shot through with compassionate insight. From advising the heir to Colonel Sanders and falling out with Buddy Hackett to nighttime jogging with Vitas Gerulaitis, the stories keep on coming. Larry the charismatic wheeler dealer needs to be rescued from yet another risky deal, and a bridge-playing mobster needs help to find his missing daughter. All this and more, along with sage advice against buying a lottery ticket, you might win. Welcome to round two. And now, let's begin.
Hi everyone, welcome to Miami Memoirs, Strange Cases and Wild Tales with Lewis Ress. I'm Jeanette, your host, and today we'll be doing episode 47, The Tennis Courts. So Lewis, how have you been? How's it going?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I'm getting older every day. But things are wonderful, thank you. Thank you for asking. It's Jeanette Garcia, my host, and she's helping me get through this trilogy of tennis stories.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear all about it.
Well, The Tennis Courts, that's a collection of three stories. Very interesting, all different, and each having a different aspect of tennis. The first one concerns the Miami Shores Tennis Club. We are about 5 minutes down the road north of Miami Shores Tennis Club right now as we sit here. Mm-hmm. The club in 1950s was restricted, as were so many of the clubs, even today, by the way, I'll get into that. The poor black people and Asians, mostly blacks and Jews, the Asians not so much, were not allowed to come into these clubs. Even though the city of Miami Shores owned and operated the facility, it was a municipal facility, tennis was a separate part of the country club, blacks and Jews were not allowed in there. The rest of the country club included the golf course, the clubhouse, and one of the longest oval-shaped bars you ever seen, about 10 yards long on either side, half of it facing a wall of tall windows overlooking the golf practice range.
So you meant that a municipal facility was restricted?
Oh, yes. So were the municipal swimming pools in those days. And black people could not go in the swimming pool, even though they had homes there, and they paid taxes in these municipalities.
That's
they
crazy.
Never went in. And the courts would not compel integration. It was a big issue. Well, that clubhouse still exists in Miami Shores. And the same women, it would appear, still play cards and drink heavily in the morning. Well, maybe not the same women, but similar women. The restrictions have long since been removed, but there still are very few, if any, blacks, Asians, and Jews. And now you aren't allowed to smoke in the clubhouse, so the women don't have any cigarettes dangling from their lips. I used to deal with the cigarette hanging on the lower lip.
Right. It sounds like a bad place. Well, women playing cards, smoking, drinking, liquor, all in the morning. Huh.
Well, it was pretty, I think it's a degenerate way to live, but there are a lot of people that live that way and enjoy it. They're hedonistic, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyhow, my tennis game was pretty good, and it was good enough to get me an invitation to join the tennis club, and that means the country club. And I was the very first Jewish member. And I find that in many instances, I'm dangled out as the first one to get into a Phi Delta Phi, my legal fraternity.
Yeah.
I was the first one in about 200 years to get into that one.
Wow.
I was fine on the tennis courts, but I was uncomfortable in the clubhouse. It was on the tennis courts where I met John Draper. John was 6'4" tall. He was about 40 years old, and he was a serve and volley player. That is, you serve the ball and charge the net. He was very fast for his size, and we played once a week. And one day I noticed that he was slowing down, and holding on to his chest. He was rubbing his chest. And, you know, this is a run and recover sport, tennis. Mm-hmm. And we were always panting and gasping and trying not to show it. You watch the pros. They're trying to control their
breathing.
Right. And not to get exhausted. But John had a funny expression on his face, and I was concerned. Mm. And we sat next to one another in between games. And I asked him if he was all right.
And what did he say?
Oh, he said, "I'm fine. I have this chest pain, but it goes away after a while." I said to him, "You should go see a doctor. You can't ignore that kind of a pain. You can't ignore that thing. How long has this been going on?" He said, "Well, it's been going on for about 6 months. I take these pills that come from London, and they do the trick. I call London on the phone, and they send me the pills. They are vitamins, special vitamins, and very large dosages." I said, "No offense, John, but I think you're making a big, big mistake. You have young children and a young wife, and I don't want to be there if something happens to you. I just don't want to be yelled at by your wife for running you around the court and causing you to have a fatal heart attack. I just don't feel comfortable playing with you anymore. Let's just be friends, but no tennis."
Wow, that's some conversation. You laid it down there for him. What happened? Did he actually listen to you?
Well, John was not happy, as you might well imagine, with mm-hmm. my speech.
Yeah.
And he kept telling me that he was just fine. So I canceled the next tennis date mm-hmm. we had 2 weeks later. And Andy, the pro, called. And he said, "Lewis, you know your friend John, the Englishman? Well, he was jogging around the lake and he dropped dead.
Oh, God.
Evidently, he had a big heart attack. The funeral is on Thursday afternoon at 4 at Lithgow's on West Dixie Highway."
Oh, wow. That's terrible. Did you go to the funeral?
Yes. My wife and I went to the funeral. It was in the main room in Lithgow's funeral home, which was a large, dark, almost cavernous room. It was lit by candles. There was his wife and his young son in the front pew, but no one else, not a soul. The casket was open. And there was no service, no minister, no priest, no eulogy, just this pretty wife sobbing and his son crying.
Sounds terrible.
It was terrible. It was awful. And 2 days later, his wife called, and she thanked me for bringing my wife to the funeral. We were, in fact, the only ones to appear.
Wow.
She asked if I could handle John's estate. She wanted legal advice, and she had inherited $15,000. Of course, I wouldn't charge her for that.
And what happened next?
Well, I said, "Gloria, what are you going to do with all that money? May I suggest corporate bonds? They're paying about 10%, and you could go out long term." She said, "Mr. Ress, I have decided to invest the money in an archery gallery business. You know, bows and arrows, shooting at those water-filled balloons." I said, "Gloria, it's really almost out of place for me to say anything, but John was a friend, and you have a young son, and that is a high-risk, unproven investment. Again, I suggest something more conservative and solid, even tax-free bonds. At that time, they were paying 7.5%.
Oh, wow, that's really good. Did she actually follow your advice there?
No one follows my advice unless I charge them. The only time they follow my advice is if I charge a big fee. Then they follow it. They want their money's worth. So she said, "No, thank you for the advice, but I know just what I'm doing." Boy, did that sound familiar. John had almost said the same thing to me. "Don't tell me. I know what I'm doing. No medical treatment for him. Just take the vitamins."
Yeah. Did Gloria make a fortune with this archery gallery business of hers?
Gloria lost the entire $15,000 in less than a month.
Oh.
That was that.
Oh, wow. That must have hurt. So, yeah, that's some story. First off, you know, what happened to Gloria? I know there's definitely a lesson here. There's two people you tried to advise, and they just would not take it, and it ended quite poorly for them.
Right. Well, Gloria. What happened to Gloria? Well, Gloria disappeared out of my life, and I never really saw her again. And so there's a lesson. There's two or three lessons. Number one, there's a lesson about self-treatment. First is a lesson about the country club and
mm-hmm.
religious discrimination.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's a long history of it. Now, I'll talk about that. Secondly, There was the mistake of self-treatment by John. Third, there's the danger of making ill-advised investments. Those are the three points that you get in this story.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, you talk about discrimination. So I'm going to get off on the subject of discrimination in country clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that right now, as we sit here today, country clubs are allowed to discriminate and they don't have to take blacks or Jews or Asians?
Wow. How is that legal?
And they do discriminate. Even today, and women. Oh, I mm-hmm. forgot. All, women mm-hmm. are the most unappreciated people who get damaged in this world, discriminated, they're abused terribly, women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are clubs, well, Augusta National Golf Course, you know, where they have the PGA, the famous one with
right.
Now they have Tiger Woods is the famous
mm-hmm.
guy.
Yeah.
There. It's the Nationals. Well, until 1975, black people could only work in the kitchen or be caddies. They couldn't play golf. They couldn't eat. They couldn't drink. They were not allowed to be members. And there's a big ruckus raised about that because it's on national TV.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two or three things. There's the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964. That didn't come until 64, and this is 1975. And these people, you have to enforce it. So it was first starting to be enforced in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and that's when Augusta changed. But they have discrimination in employment. They use private clubs as a device to restrict real estate. So if you go up to Vero Beach right now,
mm-hmm.
and it was in Naples all over the place, every condominium is owned by a private club, the Seashore Club. Mm. And in order to buy the condo, you have to be a member of the Seashore Club. And in order
but
to be a member of
the
Seashore
club.
Club, you have to be a white Protestant.
Right.
And that's how they do it.
Wow.
Well, the Fair Housing Act came into effect. And it stopped a lot of that. But even so, they control it in a different way. In Vero Beach, if you want to join, build, or have a home, own real estate in a subdivision, like this John's Island, very elegant subdivision there, you have to be a member of the club. You can't use the golf course. You got to join the club to use the golf course and the tennis courts and the gym, the spa. And, of course, in order to be a member of the club, you have to be approved. And in order
There's
to be approved, you can be blackballed.
You got to be white.
And, of course, it turns out maybe they have one black and one or two Jews, and that's
mm-hmm.
it. You won't find too many, if any.
Mm-hmm.
The yacht clubs are the worst. The yacht clubs are terrible. So there was the Sailfish Yacht Club, and I'm active in Cornell. And we had an affair, a cocktail party, at the Palm Beach Yacht Club, which I think is known as the Sailfish Club. And I told them after the affair that I was unhappy going there and I would not go back and that Cornell should be aware that this was a restricted club. They said, oh, no, you can't restrict clubs. The Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits it, whatever. I said, you're dreaming. There's a cutout in the law and that you're not aware of that says private clubs are exempt from the Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cut right in there.
Yeah.
It's a carve out. And they can have anyone or not have anyone they want. It's a
That's
private
a
club.
Loophole, yeah. They
so
use it.
Then the issue then becomes whether or not they are places of public accommodation. So what is public accommodation?
Yeah, what is that?
It means they're open to what you do. Weddings and engagement mm-hmm. parties and fundraisers for organizations
right.
and recognition dinners. And if they are, then they are a part of the community and they're open to the public and they become subject to the Federal Civil Rights Act and they cannot be discriminatory.
Okay.
So I know that Sailfish Club, they wouldn't let a Jew or a black in. So they were told that they had to remove their docks from state waters because unless they offered memberships to minority people.
Wow.
And that was another way of doing it, saying that your dock and your boats are parked and docked on state waterways, and therefore you're an interstate,
right?
And therefore you're subject to the Federal Civil Rights Act. So that's a big issue.
Well, I'm glad they got them somehow, right?
Yeah. Well, do you remember the movie Caddyshack?
I haven't seen it, but yeah,
it's a great movie. It's a golf movie, and of course you have Rodney Dangerfield, and his name was Al something, I forget what it was, but he was funny. And they have this country club, and it all takes place on the golf course at the country club. Mm-hmm. And of course, the country club is restricted. And this is not too long ago, and there's no Jews. And one of the comments that Rodney Dangerfield makes to his Asian friend, he brings an Asian friend by the name of Mr. Wang to the club, and he warns him not to admit being Jewish because Jews were not allowed. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Now, Asians were often accepted as pseudo-white. So
okay.
they were okay. You can have an Asian.
I'm sure things have changed now, probably,
yeah,
right? With everything
okay.
happening.
But Jews and blacks, no. So I don't know how the Jews, poor Jews, get involved in that kind of stuff. What did they do? But if they have meetings like Kiwanis or Rotary or stuff, you can't do that. You got to, and you could take away their tax benefits or their liquor license. There's a lot of ways of punishing them.
Oh, good.
So the Boy Scouts had a problem. They were discriminating against gays.
Oh.
And they said you couldn't be gay. And they went, there was a Supreme Court case. I think the Supreme Court said that the Boy Scouts didn't have to integrate, that they could ban gays. But the Boy Scouts relented. They went bankrupt anyhow. And then they relented and they dropped the ban. I think it was in 2015 dropped the ban. So those are the things we have. Still have problems with clubs. Indian Creek Country Club until recently in Miami Beach didn't have any Jews or blacks.
Wow.
The Bath Club, the Surf Club, the Riviera Country Club. I'll name them. The Everglades Club in Palm Beach. They all had problems with discrimination. And so that's a terrible thing. Burning Tree, you know, no women in Bethesda, Maryland. I don't even think they have a ladies' bathroom or a ladies' locker room.
Wow.
So they didn't build it. So that gives you an insight as to the racial discrimination.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
Then I was going to talk about my friend John and his pills that he was getting
yes.
from London. Because you can say it's stupid, and you have to be a little more understanding and know what you're talking about. People have this, they think if it comes from nature, it can't be bad.
Right.
This is a basic misconception. So.
And it was coming from London, too, of all places.
Yeah. And my niece, Ellen, my wife's niece, she had tremendous damage to her liver. She almost had to have it removed because
wow.
she used Chinese herbs and it caused liver damage.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's an herb from China. Wow. these things are very, very dangerous. That had toxic compounds in it, heavy metals, and there's pesticides and microorganisms, and the dosages are not even. There's no control of the dosages.
There's no control, yeah.
So this leads in to the NCCIH, the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health Alternatives. It creates a whole business, a whole industry.
There
if
is,
you watch
yeah.
television every single day,
there's
all day long, it never stops. I counted, I have a list here of 20 drugs or medicines
mm-hmm.
that have been sold or promoted on television, and I'll tell you some of them. It's a horror. What happens? Well, if you do self-treatment, very often, you have an incorrect diagnosis to start with that you're treating.
Yeah.
You don't know.
You don't
think
even
it's
know
your heart.
Treating.
It may be something else. Then there's a delay in getting the proper care because you're relying on this treatment. You're not pursuing the real need.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have a potential adverse reactions. There's allergic reactions, mm-hmm. of all kinds. And, you know, you listen to TV, they even tell you leg cramps and nausea and headaches. And those are just some of the symptoms of the problems. I'll get into it. Some of them cause death, liver damage, pancreatic damage, pancreas damage, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. Then there's not only the potential adverse reactions and the allergies, you can have be allergic. Then you sometimes it worsens the condition. There is a treatment sold on television for, I think it's liver function, and it makes your liver worse.
Yeah.
They have a whole bunch of complaints about the liver worsening. And there is a dangerous drug interreaction mm-hmm. between whatever else you're taking.
You
don't
know. Exactly. Yeah.
And it masks the symptoms of other diseases. Then there's a risk of dependence and abuse. Mm-hmm. It could be laced with a heroin or cocaine or alcohol or amphetamines. So you need to go to a qualified doctor. As a matter of fact, a lot of these drugs that they tout on television cause psychiatric and psychological problems. They cause depression, anxiety, and and can make you bipolar.
Wow.
And they tell you, a lot of them, they disclose a lot of it. So if you listen and you look it up on your computer, you'll see the side effects of these things are enormous.
Yeah.
So you have blood thinners, you have digestive problems, calcium problems, you have cramps, you have sleeping problems, nerve problems. There's a lot of them. There's Prevagen. It's supposed to be a brain booster, and that's the famous one, Prevagen. And they've got a lot of problems related to it. There are complaints that it makes your brain less functional. So people get on the TV and they talk about how wonderful it is and how sharp they feel.
It's not just TV.
A lot of it is a placebo
on the
effect.
On the internet too. You get ads all the time for all kinds of supplements and.
Right. I'm gonna tell you about them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Trulicity. You ever hear of Trulicity?
No.
Trulicity had 39 adverse side effects. Okay?
Wow.
Including urinary problems, renal failure, chest confusion, depression, seizures, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, constipation, pancreatitis, tachycardia, racing heartbeat,
mm-hmm.
all from Trulicity.
Tough.
Now, I'll probably be sued. That's not my, that's just what I believe, what I've heard.
Right.
And I'm qualifying it. I don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
But, There's a lot of them. They're all, every one of them is between 6 and 8 letters long. They all have this commonality,
mm-hmm.
and they're all advertised heavily. So I can name some of them. I said Prevagen, that's for memory enhancement. It's not FDA approved. It has cardiovascular, hypertension, chest pain, irregular heartbeats, tremors, seizures, strokes, memory impairment. So
wow.
It's been investigated for being misleading. Those are some of the complaints that are registered. There's Otezla. You know Otezla? You ever hear any
Which
of these?
Which one? Nope.
Otezla is a skin thing for psoriasis. You know Otezla, and you can use your skin and you swim with the rash and you look lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have diarrhea, nausea, upper respiratory infections, tension, headache, allergic reaction, depression.
Wow.
So Vraylar for bipolar disorder, elderly subjects with dementia. There's a high rise of cerebrovascular adverse reactions. There's all kinds. Possible NMS. You know what NMS is?
No.
Neuroleptic malignant syndrome.
Wow.
So,
that sounds serious.
Yeah, there's all kinds of irreversible problems, TD. There's involuntary disconnected movements, grimacing, ticking, smacking of the lips that you can't control. That's Vrela. It goes on. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. I've got 20 listed here, 20 of them. Mm-hmm. I've got a whole.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's just TV.
Tepeza.
That's just TV. They're everywhere.
Peptiva, Enbrel, Vrilar, Ribelsis. You've heard of Ribelsis. That the complaints are it's for diabetes, constipation, diarrhea, stomach pain, kidney and pancreatic problems. There's Biotru.
That one I've heard of.
Skyrizi. Well, that's for the eyes. That's mm-hmm. a lens thing. That's a solution. That's nothing. Skyrizi. That's for psoriasis. Swelling of the face, eyelids, lips, mouth, skin rash, hives, chest pain, tightness, and
your
so
face
on.
Falls off pretty much.
Ozempic. You've heard of Ozempic. They all come with jingles and everything, mm-hmm. and people are smiling. And as they, they're paddling a boat, and as they paddle the boat, they quietly
they
say,
montage.
Well, you can die from this.
Yeah,
you know?
They put a montage of people
enjoying
their lives. Yeah,
heart attacks. Here, Nugenix. It's a form of testosterone. And it's the brain, liver, endocrine system, heart attacks, personality changes, stroke, depression, fatigue. I'm not saying these are some of the things that are shown on the internet. Mm-hmm. As complications of using that. Mm-hmm. So these things, very many of them are not FDA approved because they're not drugs. They're hormones or vitamins or herbs, and they don't. Zeposia, it treats multiple sclerosis. Problems, breathing, liver problems, blood pressure, macular edema to your eyes.
Wow.
Swelling and narrowing of the blood vessels of the brain. Severe worsening of MS, multiple sclerosis, after you stop. Runny nose, nausea, tired, high blood pressure, headaches, back pain.
So it's terrible when you're taking it and then when you stop.
Yeah, and then you have complications if you stop. That's
wow.
not so good. So I think I've given you a good indication, and there's more. I mean, I've got tons and tons of this stuff. Cerebral, which is an antidepressant, and it causes you take it for anxiety, and it causes dizziness, flu-like symptoms, confusion, memory loss, headaches. Those are some of the complaints about it. Here's one for nasal condition. XYZAL. They're all five letters, six letters.
Keep it simple.
Up to eight letters. Very simple. It appears to me that it's a concerted effort on the part of the people that are selling this stuff.
And they try to make it medical sounding,
too. It's a marketing thing, yeah.
Yeah, they sound medical, but it's a simple word.
Okay, the next thing in the tennis court lesson was... Mm-hmm.
Gloria, what happened with her?
Is investments. Mm-hmm. What a foolish thing to take the money, and she was scammed and put it into shooting balloons.
My gosh.
I'm going to tell you the key to investments. I hesitant. I should charge $1,000 an hour for this advice. So whoever's listening, we just got people listening in India.
Oh.
So, I just sold some books, then I got paid in rupees.
Mm. So, nice.
But investments. The key thing in investments is called control. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have control of the investment, or you know who has control of the investment and they're reliable, like the government watches it or something, audits it or checks it, it's you're at someone else's discretion and control, and you don't know what happens with your money. Mm-hmm. And they can take your money and declare a pay for their expenses to Europe, first class, car mm-hmm. rentals, vacation homes, bonuses. There was one company, if I tell you the name, you would know it in a minute. It's controlled out of Utah by what's the religious group there? Oh, the Mormons.
Yes.
So it's a Mormon company, and they're very religious. They came into $20 million that they didn't expect. And the company had a board meeting, and the CEO, the chairman of the board said, I want to give each one of you $1 million from this recovery, and the other $10 million I'm going to keep. And each member of the board got $1 million. That's a bribe.
Right.
And he kept the $10 million. And they disclosed it in a footnote in the back of the meeting.
Wow.
In the corporate report, it was disclosed, but you'd have to read the footnote in the back. I saw it.
Wow.
And no one ever did a thing. No one ever did a thing. So there's when you invest, someone takes the money that should be divided to you mm-hmm. and keeps it. Mm-hmm. I was in a deal where I was not the managing partner. The managing partner, who was not supposed to charge for managing the strip stores, was paying himself $2,000 a month. And when I caught him, he said, well, I'm doing all this work. I said, well, look at the agreement. It says you manage it without charge.
Right.
He says, yeah, well, these are expenses. They make up something. These are extraordinary services. It's not ordinary.
Get away from, yeah.
And take a look at the description of management, and you'll see that this is beyond management, the ordinary management. And wound up, I had to sue him, and I collected $125,000.
Wow, nice.
He told me when I tried to meet with him in order to resolve it in an amicable way over a cup of coffee, mm-hmm. he said, oh, we can resolve it. You just drop your claim.
Oh.
That was his solution.
Oh, boy.
Anyhow,
he didn't know who
managed.
He was dealing with. He was dealing with Lewis Rez.
Well, I made a whole study for today mm-hmm. on investments to see if I can give some investment counseling. But don't rely on me because I don't want to be sued. The biggest thing that you can do, that everyone can do, is buy into the stock market. It used to be, if you retired and you had $200,000 or $300,000 cash, you could put it in the bank and buy a CD. Mm-hmm. And the CDs were paying 5%, let's say, at the time. So you would make $5,000 per $100,000 or pick up $15,000 in cash. That plus your Social Security of $25,000 and the $15,000 mm-hmm. would give you enough money, $40,000, to live. And you could, for $40,000 in those days, you could live very comfortably
yeah.
in a small apartment, and you could drive a car, maybe not a new car, but a nice car. And it would cover your Medicare and your food and some entertainment, a little travel. And nowadays, $40,000
doesn't go very far.
Doesn't cover your rental, maybe. It's very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Renting an apartment today is very expensive, and buying a home is even worse.
Oh, yeah.
So things have changed.
Especially here in Miami.
So the CDs
really
and the banks are paying what? You know what the bank pays in the money market today? 0.8%, 0.8%.
Wow.
You can't.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. Tax-free bonds used to pay 7.5%. Today, tax-free bonds are paying like 2%, 3%. Ooh. Government bonds. Government bonds used to pay 5%, 3.5%. Then they went down. Now they're 1.5% for a long-term government bond. Corporate bonds are junk. They are unsecured. They have nothing to back them up. You can get a higher return, 4% on corporate bonds, but there's nothing there. There's no equity. There's no real estate or nothing tangible. You become a general creditor of the corporation.
Mm.
Now you can get preferred bonds. Preferred bonds means that your bond gets paid before they start issuing stock dividends, which is good. Then they have index funds. I was telling you about those earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Index funds, you can go into the stock market, and they pick the stocks for you. So they take the index of, let's say, Dow Jones. Mm-hmm. There are not that many stocks in Dow Jones. And if they index Dow Jones, you get every single stock in Dow Jones is part of your fund. And you own a piece of a fund
mm-hmm.
That owns these stocks. And there's a diversity there that you couldn't normally have. Now they have funds where you can buy a piece of the fund and own a very small fraction of a stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get
which
percent,
is okay.
Yeah, percent of the stock.
Then you have index funds like Vanguard. Vanguard, Invesco, Shelton. Shelton is into NASDAQ, and Schwab. Those are all good investment funds. And, of course, in the cash that you keep with them, they have a cash account. If you keep your money in cash and don't put it into the fund, you get 0.03%. So there's no, they don't pay any interest. Then they have real estate. So real estate, they used to have these REITs, real estate investment trusts. And then it depended on who ran the trust and how clever they were and what they invested in. Real estate is not worth anything until you find a buyer.
Yeah.
And you're paying taxes on it. So if you own a vacant lot, let's say right in the middle of Manhattan, you own a lot. You're going to pay huge taxes on it and it has no income.
Yeah.
And if no one wants it, you're stuck with it. And you can be stuck with a vacant lot. You can go down the tubes with it.
It's true.
Now, they have in real estate, and of course, real estate is good if you get into a real estate trust. They have real estate trusts, and they buy real estate, and it depends on how astute they are as to the return you get. They have a qualified opportunity fund in real estate, which is very interesting because it's supposed to encourage the urban development in depressed areas. And they defer the capital gains and eliminates taxes. They defer capital gains taxes. If you hold it for 10 years or more, you may not even have to pay any tax on it.
And which one's that one again?
So it's called a qualified opportunity fund. And they're hard to get into, and there's a market for them. And they book up, and mostly it's junk property, junk real estate.
Okay.
Every once in a while, you get some smart developer who gets some inexpensive property in a low-income area and builds apartments and builds some commercial on the bottom and apartments on the top. You'll see them all over town
yeah.
here.
Yeah, they're
and,
springing up.
They fill up, especially if it's near a school, if it's near a university. The students must have are always looking for apartments.
Yep.
So that's a very good opportunity. Then you have arbitrage, which is currency speculation, and you have commodities exchange. All of those are tough. But if you don't have control, you have a problem. So I advise people to the first thing to do is to pay off their credit cards. And that's very high interest that you're paying out. And once you got the credit card paid off, then if you have a mortgage in a property, a home or something, leave it. Don't pay off the mortgage because the interest is deductible if you itemize in your tax returns. And the interest rates on the mortgages are very low. So I suggest that they keep the mortgage and make payments on it, but buy into the stock market. The stock market is the only place you can go. And I like these index funds. So does that help you? And the other ones,
yeah.
commodities, you know, you're talking about pork bellies and wheat, sugar, corn. That's highly speculative. And arbitrage is high, you know, that's the ruble and the yen and whatever. That's highly speculative.
They do. Yeah, exactly.
So I hope that helped you.
Yeah, super helpful.
If Mrs. My friend, the English lady, had come to me, she probably would have had a nice, tidy sum of money today.
Yeah, she would have, without a doubt. If she would have trusted you, she would have ended up way better.
Okay, that's only the first story.
Wow. Okay, a lot of tennis stories.
Gotta,
I learned quite
yeah,
a bit here.
Keep going, because I'll go faster. The next one is Marty's Private Club, and that'll be, I think, an interesting story. And this name, the guy's real name is Marty Margulies, and it was a tennis club that you dream about. Marty Margulies is a rich developer, and he has his, he had his own tennis pro, Richie Gilmore. And Marty's tennis club was different. The club was limited to 50 members. You never made a date to play anybody. The rule was just to show up at the club. There was always a game. And if not, Richie the pro would play with you without charge. Almost all of the members were serious players. No matter who was there, they always found room for you. There were 15 clay courts, a swimming pool, locker rooms, and a small dining room. And I don't believe there were ever more than 50 members. We all knew one another. And after we showered, Joe London, the chef, would have two or three specials for you to choose from, along with an open bar. Most of the members who played that day would stay on for dinner, and they'd bring family members or guests. Joe London was a great cook, and he was a friendly host, and Marty was rarely there.
So I bet there was a lot of socializing happening, huh?
Yeah, we had a club championship, singles, doubles, men's, ladies, mixed. And as I recall, we didn't have any need to hand out trophies. It was a really fine club.
And you used the club for social activity as well?
Yeah, every year on Labor Day, Marty allowed me and my wife to host a private party. We took over the club with our own tournament, and the kids were jumping in the pool, the band was playing, and Joe London did a big barbecue. Marty eventually moved on.
And what about the club?
The club sort of, he closed it because he moved to Grove Isle, and he brought Richie with him. And you can see Marty's amazing collection of huge Calder sculptures on display as you sail by the island, Grove Island. And Marty probably has the world's greatest collection of Calder and his own private art museum, as I say. He's really deserving of it all. He's a very nice person, and it's almost too good to be true. That was a great tennis club while it lasted. And I wanted to end the tennis stories. I'm going to save the monastery courts for another session because
sure. That
was death at the monastery.
Yeah.
And that's a whole thing where they killed someone, they murdered somebody at the courts.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm going to save that one.
Yeah, that sounds intriguing.
But we've covered a lot in this first session today.
Quite a bit, yeah. Well, thank you, Lewis. Learned a lot.
Until next time. It's a pleasure, and be careful when you invest.
Yes. Invest wisely.
Right.
Thank you for listening. We are excited to announce that Lewis now has his own blog. Visit lewisres.com to get insightful commentary to the Miami Memoirs podcasts, along with an analysis of current events, as only Lewis can provide.